You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
How many know our military men and women are people who have exemplified the topic we've been talking on in this Jesus Culture series called Serving? More so than anyone else we could possibly know. They serve a cause that is bigger than them, which is how and why they can put their lives on the line, and many have given their lives doing it. And by many, I mean 1.1 million in our nation's history, of whom the focus of this Memorial Day is for that service. You see, when you serve something bigger than you, it compels you to give all of you. And to those 1.1 million, along with those with us today that have served, that cause is this right here. That cause is this document, this ideal, what we call this nation, the United States of America, a nation that was founded on these principles, a nation that represents freedom. Somebody say freedom. I think one of the misconceptions of freedom is that freedom is free. This nation represents freedom and equality for all men and women. Now, have we lived that perfectly as a nation? We most absolutely have not. Quite the opposite many times with inside pockets of our culture. But we, with great effect, experience progress every time we lift the ideals and principles of this document high on behalf of all people. I'm telling you, for this right here represents our home, and our military men and women give their lives to protect that home and all who live in it and what this home stands for. If you believe that, would you say a good amen? You know, these thoughts have just been enveloping me, looking ahead in my prep toward this weekend in relation to this series that we're in. Because when you serve, no matter what it is, no matter what aspect of life you serve inside of, I want to encourage you to serve a cause that is bigger than you. You know, we're in the last week of our Jesus Culture series, which I pray has been a blessing to you. And again, the purpose of this series is taking the culture of Jesus' life and making it, compelling it to be, encouraging it to be the culture of your life. And part of what made up the culture of the life of Christ is the culture of serving that was prevalent in his life. But how many know Jesus didn't serve just for the sake of serving? He served a cause. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13, kind of giving light to that cause, he says this: greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. How many know that's truth right there? But think about that scripture just for a moment, and who it is that's saying it. And not just what he's saying and when who is saying it, but when he's saying it. You see, Jesus is saying this before he's about to go and live this truth out. He didn't say it afterwards as a reflection point. He said it beforehand. And he's God. He knows what he's getting ready to do. He knows the cause, and he knows what's getting ready to come to his life because of the cause that he's there serving. He knows the pain that is about to be attached to him. He knows about the experience waiting for him at the whipping post. He knows about the details that are waiting for him to be felt at the cross. He knows about the tomb. But he does it anyway. Why? Because of the cause that he's serving, which is found in the last word of this verse. You and I are not just his creation, but his friends. You are his cause. When you got tangled up in your mess of sin and it took you from him, you became the cause for him to get you back. And he was willing to do whatever it takes for that cause, no matter what it cost. Jesus served on a level with this in the scope of his focus, leaving no debate in the price that he was willing to pay. You see, a cause compels commitment. A cause pulls you. It possesses you to do anything and everything to see it fulfilled. And God encourages you to do the same, to put your life behind a cause that is greater than you. Find something that you will find desire to place your entire life behind. Like what compels a military man or woman to serve our nation, find a cause that compels you to serve on a level that will make a difference in this world through what you can do for it. Somebody say a good amen. You see, I've seen this truth come to life here at Journey Church many times. I've seen this truth come to life since we broke the news 6 years ago about opening a Dream Center here in Troy. 24/7 substance abuse recovery program to be a force that would assist in decimating the plague of substance abuse felt in our community. Which, by the way, get ready, y'all, because they're coming. And I can't wait to see what God does to those who come. Amen. It's going to be powerful. Now, we're going to be starting small. Let me just give you prep points. I mean, we got 4 beds right now, and we want to make sure we are doing this right. And so get ready to experience the seed phase of what will grow to become something quite incredible. Anyways, after we broke the news of the Dream Center, I begin to see people express a willingness to give anything and everything to help make it happen. A cause was coming before their eyes. They wanted to serve and contribute in any capacity needed behind this cause that exists to bring help, hope, and healing to someone bound with addiction. I just got an email from somebody. Steve, I'm certain you got it as well, just of somebody just asking, please, what would you consider bringing my son in? He's in the jail right now, but he grew up in a Christian school. Pastor Jesse, he's a good boy. But he got his life tangled up. Would you please consider him? There's a cause that exists in this church to see people free from addiction. But let me say it again, freedom isn't free. It costs everything to see the cause come to pass. And I saw people give on incredible levels. And Angel, where's Angel at? Is she here? Do we have the wallet here today? Can you get that for me? You know, one of the most sobering things that I saw, come here, Miss Cindy. You know, one of the most sobering things that, I'm not going to make you climb stairs, just come and prop up here with me, amen. There we go. You are short, aren't you? Look at your little feet dangling. That's so cute. Amen. You know, one of the most sobering moments for me, impacting, life-changing, life-altering, you get it, moments, for me, after we communicated about 6 years ago, the Dream Center, was when I got a call from her. She says, "Can I meet with you?" You were relatively new to the church around that time, and said, "I'd like to meet with you as soon as you can." And thank you, Angel. She told me, she goes, "I don't know what your plan is to take up offerings for this. I know it's going to cost." And she goes, "If you don't mind, let me tell you a story." And she started to tell me the story of her brother, whose name is Jeff. You have that picture? That's your brother right there, is it? Do we have that? What did you just say?
That's my Jeffy.
That's your Jeffy. That's your little brother. Baby brother. And she shared with me just about his life and how addiction found its way into his life and began to create a strain not just on him but on your entire family. And some of those strains are still felt today as addiction continues. I mean, it has a long arm. And she started to just talk about all that and the hope that they always had for him to find freedom, you know, from that, and was starting to make his way out of it, obviously in and out of the justice system, and but was out in Nevada and got himself caught into a chase, right? A police chase, and they thought he had a weapon on him and ended up
was accused of stealing a van. Somebody reported that he had stolen a van.
And so they ended up getting him, and it was one of the most unfortunate, horrible situations where he was found with several bullet holes in him from that gas, 22 bullet holes in him from that gas station. Am I correct?
He actually wrecked into some huge big bushes called oleander bushes with the driver door into the bushes. When they told him to get out of the van, he put the car in reverse, and they assumed he was going to try to run over them. And one police officer shot, and they all shot, and he was hit 22 times.
And so they didn't know who he was in the moment, but obviously passed away right there on that scene. And she just was telling me this, tears soaking in her eyes, and they took all the items on his person and was able to connect to the family and sent the items back to your family.
What happened was he actually was a John Doe for 3 days. They said they didn't know who he was, and a young lady called my family and said that she thought that this John Doe that they talked about in the newspaper could be Jeff. And so in making some phone calls, we found out that it was him, and when we went to the police station, they gave us the items on his body, which consisted of the wallet. And so
what really impacted me was she sitting here telling me this story, and the wallet was sent to you, and they gave it to you as a family, and ended up being in your possession. And so she said this to me. She said, "Jesse, inside this wallet that they found on his person, there's even a few spots where you see the stains, of blood stains from him." She goes, "It's $87. She goes, "I've never touched this money." And she said, "But I want to sew this, $87, into the Dream Center. Please allow this to be the first offering that is given." And when that was slid across the table to me, I just didn't know what to think. Like I realized I was in this very holy and sacred moment where I see people wanting to serve a cause that is bigger than themselves to do anything. And I just want to ask you here, because, you know, I don't know if I asked you this the first time we shared this story, but I just want to ask you, like, why? Why did you give this something so precious?
Well, after Jesse talked about his vision, what God had put on his heart and the vision for the Dream Center, I just kept thinking about my brother and all the things that my family had been through. I just kept saying little prayers all day. And that evening when I went home, it was just like it only could have been of God, because when I opened my closet door, there was the package with the wallet. And it just kind of jumped in my face, and I just overpowering feeling that God was saying, you have to give this to Jesse, and it needs to go toward the Dream Center. And I guess I gave it to, I wanted you to have it because I wanted people to know that he was a great guy, and addiction can happen in any family. Mm. And I wanted you all to know that this 87 dollars, I don't even remember how much was in there, $87 that was in this wallet, you know, Jeff would want this money to go to a purpose that would help save other people that wouldn't have to know addiction and the pain that it caused our family. And if his story can be told and this money can be put towards something so precious to us, that's what Jeffy would want. And I just felt strongly about it. And I know that that's what I needed to do.
Now, I told you this, and I got your permission. But like I told you, and that money is still in this wallet, and it's just to me so sacred, I just don't feel a release or a peace to take it out and deposit it. And I told you that. I said I have a problem, and you kind of got like you wanted to slap me in a moment, but it was just like, Jesse, I gave you that. And I was like, I understand, but this is just a very holy thing. And so we're going to put this wallet inside of the cinder block that's going to be memorialized behind a plaque along with a lot of our prayers and thoughts and our yes and amens that we filled out, and we'll continue to give you opportunity to, but that will be back there, and all the residents of that Dream Center will be reminded of what they're passing by when they come and they go from that house. And I just want to honor you, sister, for who you are and what you're willing to give, and this church would say the same thing. We love you so much. Love you. Thank you. I'll leave this up here. Whew. Everybody wipe your eyes. My mascara is running. I'm just kidding. It's not running. All right. Serving a cause that is bigger than you brings your life fulfillment, even when there's a hole left from the pain of the past. It gives you, and by it, let me remind you again, serving a cause that is bigger than you, it gives you a reason to want to get up in the morning and contribute all you can to see that cause make progress in the world around you. You see, if you're not wanting to get up in the morning, and know what I mean, I'm not slamming your desire to want to sleep in a little bit. Some of you are like, oh my goodness, you know, like the snooze is the enemy. No, listen, we all like to sleep in a little bit. That's all awesome. But hear me, if you're finding yourself habitually just not wanting to get out there and live life and make a difference, chances are you've made life all about you. Let me say it again. You've probably made life all about you. And the nature of that is going to contribute to the paralysis you're probably experiencing in the area of life and motivation. Listen, hear me. Although you are God's cause, you shouldn't be your own cause. A cause bigger than you means a cause that is not about you. Hollywood stars realize this. And listen, I know we live in a culture where it's all about you, right? And Hollywood stars, right, who kind of live at the epitome of rock stars of success, realize. I mean, they realize this. I've read their biographies. I've read novels. I've seen their interviews and documentaries. They realize that success and life fulfillment is not felt in fame or fortune, but it is felt when they use that fame and they use that fortune to create a positive impact in the world around them. And when they do that, they begin to experience the true definition of purpose. It's like this guy right here. I look at this guy right here, and most of us see the corny dude from that 70s show, right? Like Ashton Kutcher, right? He's just this dude that anytime he walks in, girls would just be like, whatever girls do, they're high-pitched scream. Like, it was just one of those things, but it's not that I'm a Entertainment Weekly guy, but I happen to keep up with culture, you know, and see what stars are doing and all that type of stuff. But, you know, it was one of those things where I began to see a transition in this guy's life. Matter of fact, culture saw a transition in this guy's life. This boy from Iowa who grew up, experienced all his fame and fortune, and realized, according to his own admission, that his life was filled with emptiness, gaping nothingness. He was finding nothing in the screams, in the paparazzi, in the fame, in the roles being offered to him. He felt empty. He said, I would go to bed feeling like I don't know what my life's purpose is, until he ran into what has been known as the plague of human trafficking, which exists in this country that nobody seems to want to talk about inside of our governmental ranks. It is a problem. I don't know if we realize just how disgusting it is that human trafficking even exists in this world, let alone the United States of America. It blows me away. And he's finding himself in enveloped in this cause to a level where he said, this is why I've been put on the stage that I've been put on, so that I can be used to make a difference against this problem and against this plague, to the level where he's seen here campaigning Congress to do something, to pass laws, to enforce grants to organizations that are making a difference in the realm of human trafficking. And I honor this crazy dude from that 70s show for making a difference inside of it. To me, it just shows, hear me, we weren't made to serve ourselves. We were made to live behind a cause that serves others. And that person right there is the person that will be used to lead freedom to somebody else's life. Let me just brag on Jesus again. Because of what he did and because of what he gave, we, you and I, his cause, have freedom that is key to our eternity with him. And because of that freedom, we, you and I, have a heaven to look forward to. Can I share with you, heaven is great, it is big, it is beautiful. Do you and I realize that on the other side of life, you and I will be walking on streets made of what? What? That's crazy to me. Seeing Jesus himself and the throne and the glory, the majesty, all of it to be forever. We have that waiting for us. Why? Because someone lived toward a cause and didn't quit. What is the cause or causes that you are placing your life behind? What are the causes you're living for? What are the causes you are serving in, giving toward? Are they God-endorsed, or are they all about you? You know, you'll know if it's God-endorsed if it's blessing somebody else outside of you. You'll know it's God-endorsed if it's blessing the world around you with the agape of God. And it so often starts with a simple word, a simple moment called serving. Where a cause begins, 999 times out of 100. For me, it was in 1995. I was asked to do something at, 17 years old. I was asked to be part of something called the St. Louis Outreach. And I was in youth group at that time, and we were going down with about 3,000 students in the denomination that I was a part of in that youth group. And we went down and blitzed the St. Louis area, into the projects, into the ghettos, into the rough spots of our city, just to go and do like block party services. And they sent me to go to the canvassing team, to go into the buildings, to go into the projects, and just get people to the event so that the gospel could be heard. And can I tell you, for somebody, you know, that I mean, how many look at me and you just think, you know what, you're going to be truly effective in inner city outreach, right? It's just one of those things where, you know, you just walk into certain areas and you're just like, man, this is going to be a really interesting time. And I remember going up into these projects and knocking on a door, they'd open the door and, man, I swear to you what I'm saying, like, and I'd see a gun on the coffee table, I'd see cocaine lines on the coffee table, and I would ask, you know, you're like, hello, would you like to come to the church service down the street? You know, they're just looking at you like, what the heck are you doing here? You know, and I remember going up these steps, and I was coming down, as I was going up the steps, there were four gang members that were coming down the steps. The reason I said gang members, they had these blue rags, they all had the same things, and they all kind of throwing these. It was just one of these things where I was like, I knew I was, and it's not like we just passed each other being like, how you doing? These guys stopped and surrounded me and circled me at these steps asking me, what are you doing here? And they didn't do it with a smile. They didn't say, are you lost? Would you like directions out? They just said, what are you doing here? And it was in that moment where I'm like, Jesus, I always heard of a place called heaven. Like, save a spot for me at the Lord's table. I'm on my way. I mean, I didn't want to, it was scary because one of the guys, as soon as I looked, lifted his shirt up. He's got a piece. Yeah, I'm street cred term. Peace means he's got a gun right there in his pants. And it was just one of those things where I was like, you know, all the boldness of Jesus that I have in a church service just totally left. It was like, whatever I got to do to get out of here, you know what I'm saying? Like, it got to the point where I was having trouble answering the question. And I felt like the Lord's like, what are you doing right now? Answer the questions. I'm like, you know? What are you doing here? And eventually I just tapped in to that inner strength. And I just said, I'm here because I care about this community. I'm here because I care about you. And every one of you need to be a part of a little church service that's about to happen at this block party. And the reason you need to be there is because there are hot dogs and y'all look hungry and we care. And we're going to feed you down there and we're giving stuff away and it's going to be incredible. I'm telling you, you need to get down there because we care. And I remember they looked at me and they said, all right, we'll see. And so then they kept on going, and I was like, whoo-wee, you know, and I was bold from then on out. But what blew me away was I saw those four guys show up at that street outreach service. And what's even more interesting than that is when they gave the altar call, not all four came, but one did. And the one that came, watch this, the one that came took his gun out with tears in his eyes, laid it at the altar, took a bag of drugs out, set it right there at the altar, knelt his knee, and gave his life to Jesus right there in that place. Isn't that awesome? And when I saw that, that did something in this 17-year-old. It did something. Like, it was in that moment I became possessed. It was like, what did I just get to be part? I wasn't the preacher. I was the person that was just inviting people to go hear the preacher. Guy's name was Reggie Dabbs, who was the preacher at that time. It was a fantastic message he preached. And it was just in that moment I realized. Walking away that day, I had no idea a cause would be revealed in me that would direct and possess the rest of my future. It was in that moment I said, I want to reach the hardest people to reach on this planet for Jesus. How did that happen? Serving. I served my way behind a cause that was bigger than me. I've seen the same with people who found their cause simply through serving. I met a doctor one time, and out of simply being curious as to what led them to be a doctor, they said they served on a 10-day missions trip in a college fraternity overseas. And this person at time in college, totally different major, just assisted with the medical relief team just by carrying the boxes of supplies. And he said, that one day created in me a passion to quit the college I was attending, go to medical school, and I want to help people medically now because I know what I can do to help people heal. How did he get there? He got there by serving a cause bigger than himself. And I could go on and on and on. Hear me, Journey Church, and I'm closing. We've got one life to live. That's it. And if I could give you three words after saying that, it would be this: make it matter. You know, there's a quote that I love, and it says this: in the end, it's not the amount of days in the life that matter, it's the amount of life in the days. Let's close our time here together standing. I just want you, if you would, just to close your eyes. And this just isn't a bad thing.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.